Huntington had meanwhile filed a work route map with the Secretary of the Interior, covering the entire area from the California-Nevada border to the Great Salt Lake. He simply ignored the clause in the Pacific Railroad Bill that limited the CP to 150 miles east of the border. With that map, Huntington got the race between the UP and the CP started. On June 10, the rails reached Clipper Gap, about halfway between Auburn and Illinois Town. Toward the end of that summer, the railhead became Illinois Town, 54 miles from Sacramento. The elevation was 2,242 feet. From there to the summit was about 50 miles. The grade climbed almost 4,800 feet to 7,042. The grade went up the dividing ridge between the North Fork of the American River, which lay to the south, and Bear River, which was to the north. This was the toughest, the hardest, the most expensive, the 50 miles that would be the most time-consuming. It took a full year to reach Dutch Flat from Illinois Town, 67 miles from Sacramento. After that, the difficulties increased, including more blasting, cutting, and filling, another precipitous gorge to be bridged, massive pinewood stands to be cleared, numerous tight curves to be plotted. One of the most feared stretches ran 3 miles along the precipitous gorge of the North Fork of the American River, nicknamed Cape Horn. The slope was at an angle of 75 degrees, and the river was 1,200 to 2,200 feet below the line of the railroad. There were no trails, not even a goat path. The grade would not be bored through a tunnel, but rather built on the side of the mountain, which required blasting and rock cuts on the sheer cliffs. One day in the summer of 1865, a Chinese foreman went to Strobridge, nodded, and waited for permission to speak. When it was granted, he said that men of China were skilled at work like this. Their ancestors had built fortresses in the Yangtze Gorges. Would he permit Chinese crews to work on Cape Horn? If so, could reeds be sent up from San Francisco to weave into baskets? Strobridge would try anything. The reeds came on. At night, the Chinese wove baskets, similar to the ones their ancestors had used. The baskets were round, waist high, 4 eyelets at the top, painted with symbols. Ropes ran from the eyelets to a central cable. The Chinese went to work. They needed little or no instruction in handling black powder, which was a Chinese invention, with a hauling crew at the precipice top. Hundreds of barrels of black powder were ignited daily to form a ledge on which a roadbed could be laid. Some of the men were lost in accidents, but we don't know how many. The CP did not keep a record of Chinese casualties. Dangerous as the Cape Horn work was, clearing the roadbed was worse. The Chinese who did it had the task of making an avenue 100 feet wide on either side of the roadbed, mainly to provide room for the graders and to prevent tall trees from crashing down on the track. At least 25 feet on each side of the grade had to be cleared and leveled. Not only trees and stumps, but rocks, other obstructions, and vegetation of all types had to be removed. Past Illinois Town, the growth included some of the world's largest trees, hundreds of feet high. One 300-man gang spent a full 10 workdays clearing a single mile of right-of-way. The trees were shipped to sawmills to be fashioned into ties and trestling. Then the stumps had to be blasted from the soil. 10 barrels of black powder were needed to free each one. In any 1 week, the crews used as much explosives as did Generals Lee and McClellan at Antietam. Every time the powder charge was exploded, chunks of rock and tree flew into the air. They were like missiles fired by nature at the army invading it. When a congressional investigator expressed incredulity at the amount of black powder used for any one stump, Clement told him, "These are not Yankee forests, but forests with trees 4, 6, and 8 feet in diameter." They were often 150 feet tall.